Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. I'm so excited about today's interview. I am so pleased to have a conversation with her. We often have conversations like this, so this is nothing new for us. You just have the opportunity to listen in. Today, before I dive in, I want to backtrack a little bit. And rather than sharing Ty's bio, I want to give her an opportunity to tell you who she is and what she does.
Thank you so much for that, sis. And you are absolutely right, because we talk like this all of the time. People just now get to see the behind the scenes of the conversations we have. I am Tyana. I am a life coach. My background is in healthcare and science. My background is healthcare and science by training and education. And what I do as far as a relationship coach is I help teach men and women the art and science of communication so they can have healthy relationships. And the way that I define a healthy relationship is one that is full of effective communication, honesty, and respect. And when you have all those things, the truth will then also take place. And that comes from my past experiences, the anointing that God has given me, and the ability to just help people love on themselves and love each other more.
Yeah, I couldn't have done that justice. It would have been 2 sentences flat. All right, lady. All jokes aside, I want to hop into our conversation today. Your topic is Steal, Kill, and Destroy Doubt with Joy. Take us back. Tell us how you came up with this particular session topic.
Yeah. So when we've had many conversations about this summit, and I've been so excited for you to do it. And actually, this is how the Holy Ghost always works between us, because you paused and went back earlier. And I want to take a second to pause and go back to this morning, because I was just reflecting on us preparing to have this conversation and the magnitude of what you're doing and what you're bringing and the conversations we've had. There is just so much that you have in you to help release other people. We shared conversations even recently where we're always learning more about each other, but I had such a sense of peace and release from our conversations that I didn't even see coming. And it was really from part of your testimony, also with fear and doubt. So I'm so excited that you're doing this summit, because there's just so much that gets released when it comes to your anointing in this area. And so, of course, I had to prepare, and I wanted to make sure I did this justice and really be able to pour into your audience. And as I was reflecting and preparing this morning, God was just releasing that to me about you. And because I always have to go back to the Father with anything that I do concerning you, because I just know where your heart is towards your people. And that's also how I came up with the title for this session. When you first mentioned your summit and opened up the opportunity for speakers, I'm like, okay, Lord, I always want to support you, sis. So I'm like, if this is God's will for me to be here for you, where do I fit in? What is it that I need to talk about? And that is what came to mind, was how to steal, kill, and destroy doubt, but with joy. And first of all, Steal, kill, and destroy. We know that from the word, right? We know that from the fact that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the enemy doesn't have more power than what we have. So why do we keep taking things that we know the enemy does and we almost assign it his power and his power over us? If the enemy can come in and he can attempt to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives, guess what? We have even more power and authority through Jesus Christ where we can steal, kill, and destroy too. So what are we going to steal, kill, and destroy? We're going to steal, kill, and destroy the doubt that tries to bring us away from our blessings. And as I thought back on exactly how we do that, or at least how I've done that in certain circumstances in my life, all that I was downloaded with was joy. And joy, I believe, is part of my birthright. It's one of the fruit of the spirit. And so if the spirit resides within you, then you have access to producing the fruit. So I'm going to claim the fruit of joy. But also, it's come up where people have told me that it's actually a gift that I have. And it took me a long time to really understand that. But I think that's because joy for me is attached to hope in a way. It's attached to two things, hope and then the fruit of the spirit. So it's attached to hope in the essence of, although I'm going through something, I can't give up. So I have to go forward. So I have to hope in something. I have to find something to be joyful in because I can't stay where I'm at. I can't go backwards. Yesterday has already happened. So I'm going to have to find a way to get through today. And so that's really where the title came from, me reflecting on my life and my experiences with doubt. And don't get me wrong, it still happens. Even recently, there's something that I have to make a decision about, and I go back and forth with doubt. But just because I go back and forth with it doesn't mean I'm going to claim it or reside in it. And the way that I get through that is by trusting God and by just having joy. If something is pressuring me in a way that does not align with the fruit of the spirit or things that God has told me, I know that I can take a step back from it. So I'm not going to sit in that doubt. Yes, when I'm dealing with it, I may have that doubt, but then I'm going to go step away and seek joy. I'm not going to let myself just stay in that place.
I'm so happy that we're talking about this, sis, because I don't know if there are any listeners out there who have been in a similar state that I've been, but I can remember prior to this new journey and relationship with God that I've been on for a little over 2.5 years now, I did not understand the concept of joy. Like, it was so foreign to me. And I would tell myself happiness was the same thing as joy, which we both know is not. I would tell myself things like, oh, I need X to make me happy, and then I'll experience joy, which again, we know is another lie from the enemy. And I would also tell myself that I didn't deserve to experience joy. In fact, there was this song that I used to listen to on repeat when I was struggling with suicidal thoughts, and the Lord just rescued me from that. But there was an album that I used to listen to from Todd Galbraith during that time. And the first song on that album is Joy Is Coming. I would skip it every time. I'd be like, I don't know what this man talking about. I've never experienced it. I could not. I would start with song number two on the album. And so I would love it if you would go back and just help our listeners understand today, what's the difference between joy and happiness?
Oh, that is so good. So I think it took me also a while to understand the difference. So growing up, I actually used to pray daily to be happy consistently because I was always very motivated and I was a go-getter. And my mother used to say, it seemed like I had the Midas touch. Whatever I touched turned to gold. But the fact of the matter was, although I was successful in areas people could see, I was very lonely because I was different. And I wasn't reaching my full potential. So to me, I still wasn't happy with the success that I did have. I wanted more. I wanted to do more. I wanted to learn more. So it looked like happiness on the outside, but people didn't realize I was going back and praying every night to be happy consistently. And also because, yes, you're successful at times, things happen, you jump for joy, quote unquote, but then something happens the next day and all your happiness is gone. And you are upset or you're crying or something happens, whether or not it's in your control. And now where do you go from there? How do you get back to happy? So when you chase happiness, it ends up feeling like these mountains and valleys. You end up being on this emotional roller coaster. And it wasn't until more recently I understood, and I stopped praying that prayer a long time ago, but I understand now what I was praying for kind of didn't exist. I was praying for constant happiness, which meant something happens in my life that then makes me happy. Now I understand, and especially more of what scripture talks about, where we should rejoice in the pain and rejoice in the tribulations, because everything's not always going to make us happy. And that is what life is. Truth be told, we actually learn better from the things we go through that are harder. We remember those situations more. We learn more from them. We get stronger. We see more of what we're made of. So every day is not going to be a happy day. Things that happen outside of us are not going to constantly make us happy. But what we can have at all times is joy. Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit, which means it comes from within you. The Spirit resides within you. Joy is fruit of that Spirit. And so you can be joyful even in the midst of things not making you happy in your life. And there was a scripture that I came across that actually I'll share. Because if we know about the story of Job, Job went through it. And Job went through it just because the enemy wanted to mess with him. Like, for no other reason. He was just, as we know, he's like a lion. He wanders through the earth looking for whom he can devour. And he came across Job, who was a mighty servant, and was like, bet if I mess with him, he won't serve you as well. Guys, okay, try him. So Job lost his kids, lost his wife, lost his friends, lost even his health, was messed with by the enemy to try to get him to sin and to try to get him to go against God. But there's this part of Job in Job 6 where he says, I wish that it would please God to crush me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then I would still have consolation and I would jump for joy amid unsparing pain, that I have not denied or hidden the words of the Holy One. I know I've been there too, where I wish it would please God to crush me. I'm tired. I don't want to do this. But even in that, and I understand from where I am now, I would have still been able to have joy, because anything I do that involves God and pleases God gives me joy. I don't have to personally feel the emotion of happiness to have joy inside of my heart for knowing I did the right thing for God and his kingdom and his people. There's so many times, and I'll put it to you this way, because I'm sure that there's people listening, especially women, who have gone out of their way for a relationship. They gave a lot. They gave more than that person was giving back to them, and they knew it. They were overextending themselves, and they did all those things because, one, it would make the other person, quote unquote, happy, and also because they were hoping one day it would come back to them, probably. What does that feel like when you overextend and you give yourself to someone and they turn around and they still don't do right by you, or they still don't give you what you were expecting to get back? And then look at the flip side. Think of how good you feel if you do something you maybe didn't fully want to do, or it stretched you, it extended you from where you thought you were going or you wanted to go, but you saw the happiness and the joy it brought someone else. You saw how it pulled someone else out of a hole. You saw how it blessed someone else's life. How good do you feel when that happens? That's because that's what joy is. So even if you were to give of yourself, or you were to go through something yourself and not be in the exact position that you would want to be, it still blesses someone else because it's good to God and it's according to his will and it's pleasing to him. So it's really about that alignment between you and the Father. It's when your soul and your spirit are connected and aligned. So regardless of what's going on around you, you're still able to feel like your heart is smiling.
There are so many questions that just came out of what you just said. So many questions. But the question that I feel led to ask is this: how can we steal, kill, and destroy the plot of the enemy using joy?
Yeah, that's the best question. I think the first way that we do that is to first understand who God is. Because Jesus talks about he's the vine, right? We have to be connected to the vine to produce the fruit of the spirit. So if we're, what that looks like practically is spending time in the Word of God. I have this thing that I do on occasion. If I don't have a particular scripture that I know that I want to read, or I'm studying a particular chapter or devotional, I literally will just grab my Bible. While it's closed, I'll just pray first and ask the Holy Spirit to guide me to the message that He has for me. And just open the Bible and start reading and let the Holy Ghost guide me throughout the Bible. As you do that, you're getting filled with His word. You're getting connected to the vine. You're getting watered. So that way you can produce that fruit of the Spirit is joy. You're understanding Him more. Because when you understand who God is, you can understand better who you are. And you can understand better what He would have you do. And then also just in prayer, listening to him. Praise and worship is a huge one. I've been really in this, well, you know, I've been in this challenge, and I've been learning to better manage my emotions. I don't consider myself to be an emotional person, but I'm learning more that we really do have to manage our emotions well. In this challenge, sound has been coming up a lot, and I'm realizing I wasn't taught how to harness the power of sound. I understood the word tells us life and death is in the power of the tongue. What does the tongue do? It speaks. It produces words, which make sound, right? We know about releasing a sound unto heaven in praise and worship. We know that, correct me, was it Samuel? When he was anxious, playing the harp calmed him down. We know that the walls of Jericho came down from blowing horns. And the sound that they released. We know that God showed up for the Israelites when he had the sound of chariots run the enemy away out of their space. We know that God formed the world and everything that's in it from speaking it into existence. But yet we really don't harness that power of sound and put all of that together to realize how important and how powerful sound is. So praise and worship. Filling yourself with positive words, filling your environment with things that you want to hear that will build you up, and releasing praise back unto God, thanking Him, talking to Him, and being honest when you're talking to Him, not just repeating words you've heard somebody else say or praying in a way that you feel someone should do. I've had to learn to get real specific with my prayers. The more I go to him and the more I rely to him, the more he produces joy in my heart. Because the more I'm able to let things go that are not him that would have weighed me down also. And the more I appreciate the things that I do, because I know that I got rid of the things that I really didn't need to do. They might have even been good things, but they weren't God things. And so when I'm focusing on the God things, I feel more productive. And I'm trusting myself better in doing what I was actually called and led to do. And all of that continues to water me and produce more joy in my heart. So steal away those negative thoughts. When the enemy tries to come in, the first thing he's going to try to do is make you doubt, right? Because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But what we don't go back to is before that, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he's to ask of God who gives to everyone generously without rebuke or blame. So you don't even have to doubt Because you can always go back to God and just ask for wisdom. Again, that goes back to prayer. That goes back to His word. So you're going to steal back your doubt. You're going to steal away those thoughts, right? Cast down every thought and bring it into alignment with the word of Christ. So you can cast down the thoughts. You can ask God for wisdom, right? Steal it. Even if that means to, so we talked about stealing it, killing it, refusing to believe it. When you know God well enough, certain things are not of God. If you know that something is coming into your mind and it's not of God, kill it right there. Don't even continue the conversation. Sometimes my bishop said this one time, sometimes you need to interrupt the enemy when he's trying to talk to you. Okay, interrupt the conversation. No, that's not God. Kill it. We're done. That sentence doesn't even get to finish. Okay? And destroy. You destroy it by your good works. You destroy it by your actions, because remember, faith without works is dead. You destroy it with your actions to show that you trust God over the doubt. To show that, okay, you may have some moments of doubt, but you're going to seek the truth through God. Those are the most practical ways to get started to steal, kill, and destroy the doubt while building up your joy.
So I wanted to circle back to a few things. So the scripture that you referenced was from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. And it says, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took up the harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him."
Thank you, sis.
I want to make sure we had that point of reference. A few things that came up for me. So, one of the things that I want to maybe drive home is the importance of sound. You mentioned the powerful scripture that most of us know, right? So, life and death lie in the power of the tongue. When you were saying that, what I kept hearing was that we use it incorrectly. We use sound incorrectly. And that's because either based on what we're hearing and we're taking in, or our environment or our circumstances, or maybe just the way that we were raised and we haven't sought God's wisdom to correct these negative habits, beliefs, and patterns. But there are all too often instances where I'll just give you an example. I won't talk about anybody else. We're going to talk about me for a second. I will say something like, I just can't do that. I haven't sought God about it. I haven't even tried it in my own strength, but I'll say that as a believer, as a child of God, I'm out of alignment. That's not something I should do, but it's habitual. And so we do it. Now, that was just a simple example, but there might be someone out here listening to us who might be struggling financially. And rather than speaking scriptures and life over themselves in that area, maybe they choose to believe and say things like B-R-O-K-E, like they just keep saying it over and over again, not knowing that they are self-fulfilling a prophecy that does not align with God's promises for them. The other thing that came up for me when you were talking is how joy impacts belief. So I was hoping you could talk about that a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you just said because, especially when you went back to those self-fulfilling prophecies. It's so funny. We are always so aligned. And it's so funny you brought that up because this morning, all that kept coming to me was, if I can do it in my own strength, it's not big enough for God. Not to say it's not big enough for him, but if I can do it fully in my own strength, then it means just that. I want things that are so big and so of God that I need him to do it. I can't do it in my own strength. Right? I need things that are purposeful in this season of my life, not just things that I can get by with. So I love that you brought that up. There was a time when Ty Tribbett came to preach at our church, and I'll never forget, he said, "Stop claiming things you don't want in your life." He said, "We go around saying things like, my debt. My ex. You don't want that person no more. Stop calling them yours. Stop claiming them. You don't want that debt. Stop claiming it. And we know you and I have had the conversations too, where I had to talk to and about my debt different. It wasn't my debt, but I had to talk to and about the bills that I needed to pay differently. And I had to take it differently to God. And as soon as I did that, he gave me a different answer. I could have sat here struggling with it on my own because I kept trying to claim it and I kept trying to act like I don't know what to do with it, which I didn't know what to do with it. But when I changed my thoughts, I changed my words, and I started talking about it as though, God, I know this isn't mine. And I know that this isn't what you've called me to. Lord, how do we manage this? And God gave me a very direct answer, and I was able to pay that bill off when he told me to. It's so important the way that we frame our minds and we frame our words around the things that are going on in our lives. Now I'm going to get back to the question that you asked me.
How does joy impact belief?
I believe joy impacts belief because sometimes that's all you have behind it. When it comes to faith, we're being called, I believe, especially in this time, to believe things that are not only just bigger than what we think, because the word already tells us God can do things beyond what we can think or imagine. But we're being called to do things that we maybe haven't even seen before. We haven't even heard before. We haven't heard of someone else doing it. We've never seen anyone else do it. And it even sounds impossible to us. So how are we supposed to believe something like that? And I believe if you keep joy behind it, it helps to propel you in the direction of your belief because the enemy plays with your mind first. So he's going to get you to try to doubt. He's going to raise questions to get you to doubt if something really was of God, if God really said something, if you can really do it, if it's really for you, if you can ever be restored or healed. He's going to get you to question yourself to raise doubt. But if you start to push past that, he's got to come up with another way to throw you off your game. But if he can't throw you off your game and you buy into that doubt in the beginning, then you're also going to be more susceptible to falling into shame and guilt. Because once you start doubting and you start questioning yourself, then it's, can I really can't do it? And then he'll probably bring things up, whether they're true or false, from your past. Oh, remember this happened in your life? Nope, that's not for you. Oh, yeah, it's not. Now you're feeling guilt, you're feeling shame, and none of this stuff is from the spirit. You're afraid, you're fearful. We know that's not of the spirit because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so if you fill yourself with joy, you don't have the same space available in you to be filled with shame and guilt. If you fill yourself with the spirit and the fruit of the spirit as joy, there's not enough room for that shame and that guilt to take up space in your life, unless you remove the joy or you remove what else you're filled with of God and you give space to those things. I might not think I know everything. I know that I don't know everything. And I may doubt. But joy, remember again, because it's fruit of the spirit, it's also a reminder that God is in me. So when I start to try to doubt myself, I'm like, wait, but my heart is still smiling. I'm still filled with joy. I'm still filled with the spirit. He is still here with me. Maybe I just need to step away from it for a minute and listen to him and come back. Or maybe I just need to go ahead and just lay it on the cross of Christ and give it to the Lord and let him work it out on my behalf. Because he works all things for the good of those that love him and are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
So it gives me that, it reminds me and shows me because, right, remember Jesus cursed the tree because it had leaves but no fruit. Joy is the actual fruit. So you may know that you're connected to the vine because you believed in your heart and confessed with your tongue that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So that's being connected to the vine. So you may be aware I'm connected to the vine, but you may feel like there's just leaves. You need to make sure you're getting some fruit. And joy is a fruit that we too often seek in the world, like you said, through happiness instead of through him. And joy is something that the enemy can't replicate.
So true.
And it's not temporary.
I started reading the Bible for myself instead of just reading devotionals and reading the Bible that was on the screen at church. And when I did that, he led me directly to the scripture that was like, it's fruit. It's not plural. It's not fruits. When you take on my spirit, you take on all of it. I was like, I've been living a lot. There are some people under the sounds of our voices who believe they don't get to experience joy. That's not for them. And
That's
that's
a
just a
lie.
lie. It is. It's a lie.
That's a lie. I'll be honest, you're gonna go through some things to really develop that fruit. And that fruit is going to be developed throughout your walk with Christ. Whereas joy, you can tap into. And you, all of you listening to me, are you hearing me? You can tap into the joy and the fruit of the joy. Because the biggest thing that's probably holding you back from experiencing joy and not experiencing joy is going to start with your thoughts. Doubt being one of them, right? Because again, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And also, we tend to stop there. What does the scripture actually say? It says, "For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways and everything he thinks, feels, or decides." That's from the Amplified Version from James 1, part of verse 6 through 8. See, we tend to take God's word out of context. We don't go back to the whole thing. It's not just that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay. No. It also says that person shouldn't even expect to receive anything from the Lord. How can you have joy? How can you have fruit of the Spirit and also not expect to receive anything from the Spirit? Right? So clearly, doubt, if doubt causes you to not expect to receive whatever it is that you're doubting from God, and joy is fruit of the spirit, you can't experience both at the same time. Right? You can't have the things that are not of God and the things that are God. You're gonna have to get rid of the doubt. And getting rid of doubt does not necessarily mean you got rid of it 100%, right? It means that you've put God at least on top of it. So you may have some doubt, it may cross your mind. You're human. But in your spirit, there should be no doubt. In your spirit, there should be nothing but the joy of knowing, regardless of how this turns out, God is going to work this out on my behalf. Being convinced that there is nothing that can take you out of his hand. Where does this all start? In your thoughts. Because you have to think it. Then you have to believe it. Then you'll act like it.
I could sit here and talk to you all day long. You know that. I've
Yeah.
tried it.
We both.
I have one last question for you. And then I want you to tell the people how they can stay in contact with you, how they can connect with you, and your free gift. That last question is for the person who is going through some things and has made the choice to tap into and feed the doubt versus the joy that is their birthright. What's your favorite scripture? What would you share with that person?
Oh, my favorite scripture? Probably James. Okay, I would say read the whole first chapter of James. Honestly, read all four. Okay, James is only four chapters. The whole book of James is so good. And it really pulls together aspects that you would get from other parts of the scripture as well. But I would really just sit with the book of James. And if you wanted a place to start, again, start with James 1, verses 5 through 8. And read it on repeat until you believe it.
The scripture that I would give them comes from Matthew. It's what I was led to this morning. It's Matthew chapter 8, and I would read verses 5 through verse 13. And the ones that I want you to focus on or take away is verse, what is this? Verse 8 that says, "The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's that shame and guilt that we might be experiencing, right? But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then when we skip down to verse 13, Jesus says to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would be. Some of us got healings out there. We got miracles out there. We just need to activate our belief. Tell the people how they can stay in touch with you.
They can stay in touch with me through Instagram. So it's faith_and_authority. On YouTube, it's Faith and Authority. And they can also find links to stay connected with me on either of my social platforms. So that way they can access their freebie, or they could access other resources and other events and offers that I have going on right now.
So excited. And what's your free gift?
My free gift is a mini journal. I understand this is a process, but what you said is so important. You have to activate your belief. Again, they talk about that in the book of James, because if you don't have belief behind your faith, you're not going to get anywhere. The journal is so that way you can take some time being honest with yourself about what are these things that you're doubting, and then you can reframe that to figure out what things you can do to doubt less in that way. And really, it's a new way of looking at affirmations. Affirmations are cute, right? But we really need to nourish our soul and spirit. And so this is giving us another way to speak better over ourselves. So that way we can still kill and destroy the doubts. And we can also increase our joy.
I absolutely love that. Are you including anything in the marketplace?
In the marketplace, there's also going to be the opportunity to do a Bible study with me. So we will do a Bible study together. So that's obviously going to be a more limited offer, because we will do it in real time. So that way we can delve into the scripture, because again, that's one great way for us to steal back our thoughts and kill the doubt.
I'm so excited, lady. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and sharing your God-given wisdom and your experiences. I appreciate you as always.